Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That's more like it. Good morning if you're new and you've not been here before. Oh, you are here. Dan's here. Good. I'm glad you're here. I had something for you, but I didn't know you were up there. Sorry. So, yeah, good morning. If you're new, welcome. We're not as scary as we look. I felt a bit kind of scared when I first came about 8 or 9 months ago, but they are all right. They look a bit weird and they look a bit strange, but they're actually not that bad. So please feel welcome. There's tea and coffee afterwards, and I hope you enjoy it. Also, good morning to the Portsmouth lot. Woo-hoo! Portsmouth lot, we're taking over. That's it. We've come and we're taking over. Well, I'm glad the Portsmouth lot are here today. Because they are a fantastic lot, and actually a part of kind of what I'm talking about today is just who they are, basically. So thank you, Portsmouth lot. Plus, also, if you don't like this and you're going to lynch me, I've got kind of a support group to kind of back me out and try and at least get me out the door while you're kind of hurling rocks at me. So we're going to continue the series this morning. We've been doing a series of why do we, and then there'll be something after that. So why do we gather for worship? We've had this. Why do we listen to sermons? Why do we appoint leaders? And if you've missed any of this, I highly recommend that you go onto the website and you listen and you catch up from what's been said already, because this is fundamental for why we do things. If you've ever wondered, why do we do that in church? That's just really bizarre. We're going to hopefully cover as many as those kind of questions that you may have. So next week, we've also got with the amazing Chris. We've got, I'd like to encourage you with why do we do personal devotion. So I kind of highly recommend Chris. I think he's fantastic. And when I wasn't even here, I would try and find podcasts or sermons that Chris had done and steal what he said and use it in other places. He's not actually here. He's gone out to do he's covered for me this morning for the children's work. So I'm so grateful he's not actually here. So I can actually steal stuff from him and he won't even know about it. So this morning, why do we do tea and coffee? Well, unfortunately, it's not going to be an hour. I'm going to go for an hour. It's not going to be an hour about tea and coffee, because it's a little bit weird. I don't actually drink tea or coffee, so it'd be a bit odd me talking to you about tea and coffee. But it's more about what tea and coffee kind of represents, and it represents the importance of a social fellowship. Fellowship where we meet together, and it is social. It's the importance and the relevance of relationships. So I'm really glad that you're here today, because you're the reason I came. You're the reason I came. Don't get me wrong, I came to worship God just like everybody else here, but I came to see you, because let's face it, I could have worshipped God in my pyjamas at home. I could have just been eating my toast, praising the Lord, and I wouldn't have had to see any of you. But I came here this morning because I wanted to see you. I needed to see you. I needed to see you this morning. The reading we heard from Joy, where is she, Joy? Hand up. Thank you, Joy. You often hear at weddings. It's a kind of thing you kind of hear at weddings, and it kind of comes out and then it goes away. Because not much is kind of spoken from Ecclesiastes often. I'm going to read it again. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm in marriage. Just want to clear that up. In marriage. Dan, that's not an excuse. But how can they keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. When Solomon wrote this, he's thinking about companionship. The blessing of companionship and traveling. So if we're thinking about kind of traveling along the road, and there'd be two people that would often travel together, they would travel to protect each other, to pick each other up, and at night when it was cold, they would also kind of camp together to keep warm. So this morning, I wish to focus on the relevance of relationships and journeying together. But more importantly, godly, good-based relationships, God-based relationships. And friendships. I've often heard people in the past say, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. And on one side, I completely agree with them. He is all you need. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing compares to Jesus. Nothing comes close to Jesus. He is the only way. And I do agree, Jesus is all you need. But On the other hand, I kind of think, sometimes, is he all I need? In Genesis 2, we have God and Adam, just God and Adam, okay? And at this point, there is no sickness, no pain, no death, no debts, no children, no mortgages, nothing. It's all good. Everything's great. Everything's perfect. And then God says this kind of rather particularly odd part, and I'm going to read it to you now. In Genesis 2:18, God says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him.'" And then going down to verse 21, it says, "So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to man." One of the commentators, I just want to highlight this, because the word helper can kind of get a bit muddled and people think, oh, how does that go? One of the commentators I was reading this week said, the reason it was the rib and not the head, because it wasn't meant to be that the woman was made from the head and therefore was the head of the man, and she wasn't made from the feet and therefore she should be at the feet of the man, but she was from the rib because she is equal to the man. She comes from the side. She is equal. But I had this really odd bit, because up until this moment, everything is good. Everything is great. God saw the light and it was good. God created the animals and it was good. God parted the sea and the land and it was good. God created man and he said, "This is very good." And then we get to this point and he says, "It's not good. It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone." Adam's human existence, God realized he needed others and others who were like him. But why is it not good for man to be alone? Well, one of the commentators says, in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make mankind in our image." Now, if he's going to make mankind in his image, and we're looking at God, one of the foundation parts of God is this relationship and community, because God is a community within himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So if we're going to make community within myself, and I'm going to make man in my image, I need to make community and relationships. It wasn't good for him to be alone. Adam needed others. It does go on to say that then God created a load of animals, but there was no partner found for Adam. So God creates woman. God creates woman. Adam is no longer alone. Adam has Eve and Eve has Adam. And can I be as bold as to say this morning that just as important as your relationship with God is your relationship with others? Just as important, not more important, just as important. You cannot go through life as a Christian without other Christians. Unfortunately, I wish you could say you could just go on your own, but you can't. It doesn't work like that. We need relationships. And in our relationships, can I start by saying that the greatest gift that you can bring to these relationships and to the church as a whole is the gift of unity? You can be the most amazing singer. You can be the most amazing piano player in the world. You could be the most fantastic children's worker. You could make tea and coffee like there's never been tea and coffee before. But unless you bring the gift of unity and love, it's pointless. It's absolutely pointless. It becomes void, because instead of building up the kingdom with that fantastic gift that God has given you, it kind of just all goes to pot when we don't bring love and unity to one another. Paul talks a little bit about this when he writes his letter to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but without love, I am nothing." Without unity, we are nothing. And now I am not saying that in church there will not be tensions, because let's face it, humans are involved. And when humans are involved, there's tension, there's arguments, there's things that we just need to sort out. But let's always come back to the importance of unity before anything else. Make sure you're coming with love and unity, so we can keep the major things the major things and the minor things the minor things. So, God saw that Adam needed others, and he saw that he needed people in his life to go on this adventure called life with him. So this morning, I'm going to kind of highlight the importance of journeying with others and how God provides this, and just how this all fits with social fellowship. Now, this morning, I have put some props up on the stage. I made this myself. Can I get a woo? Made this myself. I nicked the string from Chris. Don't tell him. Okay, so we've got two pillars. We have one pillar here and we have one pillar here. Now, this pillar is to represent the beginning of your life, when you were born and you came out screaming, kicking and crying into the world. And this over here, don't want to be kind of morbid about it, but is when you're going out kicking, screaming and crying. Beginning, end. There will be a time when we physically die, but not spiritually die. Amen? Amen. I don't intend to go out spiritually dying. I'm living on forever. And I hope you guys are coming with me. So, beginning, end. And if this is the beginning, and this is for me, and this is my timeline, this is my birth. This is the 25th of February, 1988. I was born at St. Mary's Hospital in Portsmouth to the mother, Susan Garner, and to the father, David Garner. And now, there's something you really need to know about when I was born. I was beautiful. That wasn't even the funny part. I was beautiful. I mean, the royal baby had nothing on me. Sorry, nothing on me, right? Okay, so I was just angelic. I was marvelous. I mean, I was so beautiful that I didn't even cry when I came into the world. How perfect. The reason I didn't cry was because I was unconscious. That's not the funny part. I was unconscious. I'd gotten myself into a bit of a pickle, and I'd had the umbilical cord wrapped around my throat. And when I came out, I was unconscious. And for about 5 minutes, four. Five sounds more dramatic. For about 4 minutes, I was out, gone. There's no crying, there's no screaming, and there's a lot of people rushing around very, very, very quickly. And you don't really last much longer after 4 minutes as a baby being born. And I often forget this about my kind of this story about when I was born. But yeah, within a minute, I came back around. And this story does have a happy ending, otherwise, I won't be here talking to you now. But in all seriousness, God can save a life in 1 minute. God can save a life in 1 minute, physically or spiritually. Wherever you are, whatever place you're at, God can save your life in a minute. Actually, in fact, less than that. God can do miracles. And I look back now as a 27-year-old, I know, still looking good, 27-year-old with an amazing wife, an amazing family, and incredible friends. And I am just so grateful for God's miracle in my life when I was born. So, timeline, we have the beginning and we have the end, physically. And now I want you to imagine that this is your timeline, okay? And I want you to look back wherever you may be. Some of us might be only here on the journey, some of us might be here or maybe a bit more over here. But I want you to look back over your time. And I just want to raise the hands. Have you had any kind of trouble or bad things that have happened in the past? Show of hands, just stuff that's just gone wrong, stuff that's bad. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Let's face it. It's a real word, isn't it? And I want you to look back and see these troubled times. Now, I'm going to bring it up a bit. Good times? Can you look back and think, yeah, I see some good times? Hands up. Yeah, come on, just the same. Everyone, hands up, hands up. So we have good and we have bad parts in our lives. And now this is crucial because we see, wherever we're up to, we see the present and the past of good and bad times. We only see that bit that we're on. And yet God sees all of this and so much more. And in John 16:33, Jesus explains something that I always found a bit puzzling at first to his followers. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Because we believe in a God that doesn't, he's not restricted by time. He doesn't live in this time. He is outside of time. He is at the beginning and he is at the end. He's in all of it in between. So when you were born, he was there. And when you're going out, he was there. And everything in between, he is there. And when Jesus talks about you will have trouble, he doesn't mean little trouble like, oh, I can't find a parking space outside church this morning. Or, oh, I've run out of coffee or sugar. He's not talking about little trouble. He's talking about massive, faith-shaking, life-changing trouble. Trouble that when it hits you, it's going to hit like a wall. And it will come at some point. And it might not be this week or next week or a month or a year. But in this world, you will have trouble. And Jesus says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. In other words, have courage. I have conquered death. I have fought and won the battle. Heaven is open and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Amen. But my question is, and actually, if you're worrying about that, you need to listen to Chris last week and his Pulse service. Chris was fantastic. I mean, he was talking about how our physical lives are like this and yet the big stretch of eternity and how we can trust in the Lord because he has it all in hand, and yet we worry about this little bit here. So I encourage you to go and listen to that from last week. But my other question is, what happens when trouble comes? When faith-shaking trouble comes, what are we going to do? Because Christians, we're not immune from trouble. I would love to stand here this morning and say, you become a Christian, you hand your life over to the Lord, and everything will be plain sailing. It will be like walking on clouds. You'll find that everything will just be incredible, and nothing will ever go wrong. But we're not exempt or immune from trouble. Take heart, have courage. I have overcome the world, and my spirit is living in you, and we can overcome this together. Christ will go through bad times with you, but they're not taken away. So because we will have trouble, this morning it's key to realize that we have two important relationships. First, relationship with God. So important, so important. I cannot stress that enough, your relationship with the Lord. And the second one, which we're going to focus a little bit now, is with each other and with others. It is not good for man to be alone. Okay, so we're going to look at your life. This is your life. This is your life. And we're going to put some pegs on it. And now different pegs mean different things. So red pegs mean bad points in life, bad moments, bad situations or troubling moments that have happened. And as I've said, God doesn't take them away, but he journeys through with them. So it's a real world with real knocks and bad stuff happens. And a couple of the red pip moments, I think, in my life were possibly when, one of them was when my friend Shane died, which some of you have heard me talk about before. Shane died at the age of 16. He went far too young, far, far too young. But this was a real red peg moment in my life. I've had a couple of family members pass away, and they were huge red peg moments. Huge, huge red peg moments. There's another one I've had when I broke my leg. I think that was somewhere in here. That was a pretty red peg moment. Didn't know if I was going to walk again, and that was pretty tough. And just last year, I think it could be honest to say, I think one of the biggest red peg moments me and Jess have ever faced happens. And I'm not going to go into it because it's too long. And we haven't got all day. But we had this red peg moment, and it was pretty huge. So, in the past, we can see all the red peg moments that have happened. But Jesus is saying, guess what? You're going to have some red peg moments in the future as well. Can I be honest? If you're not careful, and we don't have these relationships, these two relationships intact, a red peg might take you out. A red peg moment might just take you out. It might just finish you off. Anyway, let's be a bit more uplifting. Right, so we've got green pegs. Green pegs are for good moments of life. Can I get a woo-woo? Woo-hoo! Okay, green pegs. Green pegs, good moments. So one of my green peg moments would probably be when I married the most amazing, incredible, beautiful, gorgeous Jessica. She is there, yeah. Guys, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. You get a stage, you get a microphone, and you just tell everybody how much you love them. No, she is incredible. Another green peg moment for me was, I'm going to move these down, was seeing my brother in his passing out parade at the TA. That was a very cool day. That was a really big green peg moment for us. And in 7 weeks, I will have another green peg moment because I am leaving Eastleigh Baptist Church. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. In about 7 weeks, I'm going to have another green peg moment because I graduate from university. Woo-hoo! Thanks, guys. I'm going to graduate. I can't believe it. The uneducated hairdresser from Portsmouth is getting a degree. Honestly, I left school with no GCSEs. I've got no A-levels. I'm on a course that's doing youth community work and practical theology. And in 7 weeks or so, I'll graduate and I'll have a degree. And I have to give all the glory to God, because it's all him. It's all amazing. And I love telling people, I love telling young people who are worried about exams or results, and I just think, if God can make an uneducated hairdresser from Portsmouth go to uni and get a degree, I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine. So we have red peg moments, and we have green peg moments. And I wonder, where is God in all this? Where is God in all this? I believe one of the main reasons that God created church is that when trouble, as Jesus was talking, comes knocking on your door, he gives us something. He gives us godly relationships. He gives us wooden pegs. So you thought it was going to be about tea and coffee this morning. It's actually about pegs. Wooden pegs represent good, godly relationships. Good, godly relationships. And when that trouble comes knocking at your door, instead of taking you out or taking the trouble away, God says, I'm going to give you some wooden pegs. So that when your friend passes away unexpectedly, you've got some wooden pegs by your side. Like when you have family members die, you've got wooden pegs. Wooden pegs are those people who will stand by you regardless of what's happening in your world. Wooden pegs are those people who love you for you, who love you when you are down and out and when you are high and flying. I don't know why bad stuff happens. I wish I could tell you. But I know that God journeys through those bad times with us. And I honestly believe that he places people, wooden pegs, in your life to go through those tough times. Who have his spirit in them. So when the waves come and the walls hit, your wooden pegs are there with you. I honestly believe God is continually placing good, godly people in your life. And my question is, have you noticed it? Have you noticed it? Have you been paying attention to the people that God is placing in your world right now? It's often sad to think that when you most need people, you want to withdraw. When the red peg moments are happening, you just got to get out of here. It amazes me how many people withdraw from church when these moments happen, when actually the best place you need to be when these things are happening is in church. And you think, I've just got to get away from it, and I just need some time to reflect on what's going on. Let me tell you who your worst counselor is. It's you. Because you say, oh, I'm just no good, I'm rubbish. And you go, yeah, you are. I can't do anything right. Yeah, that's true. You don't do anything right. Nobody at church understands or gets me. Yeah, no one understands. Just stay at home today. When you want to be alone and you want to withdraw, you need to do the exact opposite. You need to get into the house of God. You need to connect with people. You've got to get amongst the Jesus nutters who are going to drive your emotions insane. You know those ones that are just constantly praising Jesus? Getting amongst them, they will wind you up in your red peg moments, but they will save your life. They will save your life. Not allowing you to fall into the trap to just withdraw and get away from church. If we can't be a wreck at church, I don't know where we can be a wreck. We don't need to be all shiny, shiny, nice on the outside. We can be a wreck and come into this place and know that there is love and unity in this place. So, in our timeline, we are given good, godly people for all different seasons of our life. People placed by God. Why? Because God doesn't live in a 24/7 time zone. He sees the whole thing and he sees these red peg moments. And he says, I love you so much, Tom, that I'm not going to allow you to go through this red peg moment. I'm going to send some wooden pegs. And through those wooden pegs, you will know that I am with you also. So that when Tom needs a hug, or when Tom needs his eyes wiped because it's just too much, the wooden pegs are there. God is there. It's also important to remember that they're not only just there for the red peg moments. They are there for the green peg moments. And I cannot wait in 7 weeks' time to celebrate with some of my wooden pegs. And the amazing things that they have done for me over the last 3 years is incredible. And with your wooden pegs, you will come through situations that you thought were going to take you out. And in actual fact, they made you 10 times stronger. Wooden pegs are there for all seasons of life. When Shane died, parents, wooden pegs. They hugged me, they cried me, they wiped my tears, and they continued to tell me that God is good and that he still loves me. And that wound me up. Because at that time, I was screaming at him that this was unjust, this was unfair, he was 16, this isn't right. Last year, when Jess and I had our big red peg moment, we started getting wooden pegs that I didn't know we had wooden pegs. They just started appearing out of the woodwork. But they just started appearing. These like wooden pegs were just popping out of nowhere. Popping up just everywhere. Just wooden pegs were just literally all in this red moment. Were just jumping all over us. So it was just wooden pegs coming out from everywhere. People that we didn't think just started popping up. And actually, if I'm honest with you, it's led from that red peg moment to claiming it as a green peg moment, because the amount of people that came from that moment changed it. God knew our red peg moment from last year, and I honestly believe he's placed wooden pegs in our lives. And I also believe that Eastleigh Baptist Church was a part of that. That he saw the future and thought, I know where to send Tom, because I've got loads more wooden pegs there. So I came to Eastleigh Baptist, and there's just more and more wooden pegs were just popping up out of nowhere. All these people just surrounding us. I am so grateful for my new wooden pegs here at Eastleigh Baptist. So grateful. You have no idea how much you mean to others. When you are not here, you are missed. You are missed. Don't ever think for a single second when you're not here that nobody noticed that you weren't here. You are missed. And you are loved. Not because you can sing, or because you can make coffee, or because you're good looking like Dan. We miss you because you're you. And you're part of us. You're part of our family. And we journey together. And because you're my wooden peg. And I'm your wooden peg. It amazes me when people say, I've asked God for help, but he just hasn't done anything. He just hasn't done anything. And I'm still waiting. He just hasn't done anything. And I often think, has he answered in the format that you wanted him to answer in? Because often we want God to answer us with a message written in the clouds, or an angel at the end of our bed playing a harp saying, "This is what you should do next." Or we want a bush on fire in the garden that speaks to us. And don't get me wrong, God can do these ways to communicate with us, but often, more often than not, he uses people with skin on. Have you heard about the joke about the man drowning at sea? Okay, I've got a few nods, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So there's a man drowning at sea, and he's saying, "Lord, help me, I'm drowning." And a little humble man in his little rowing boat comes over, and he's rowing, and he says, "Oh, good day, sir. Are you in trouble?" "Yes, I'm drowning." "Hop in the boat." "No, no, it's fine. I've asked God to save me. It'll be fine. It'll be along in a minute." The man said, "Oh, suit yourself." Rows off. Cruise liner comes along. And over the antenna, they shout, "Sir, do you need some help? Do you need some assistance? You look like you're drowning." "Yes, I am drowning, but it's fine because God will save me. Carry on. Don't let me disturb you." And the cruise liner carries on. A helicopter appears and says, "Sir, you are drowning. Please let us help you." "No, it's fine. I've asked God to save me. He will save me. It's fine." The helicopter leaves. The man drowns and dies. And he gets to heaven. And he says, "God, why didn't you save me?" And he said, "I sent you a boat, a cruise liner, and a helicopter. What more did you want?" And how true is that for us? We want God to specifically speak in that moment of prayer or worship, and we want to hear his audible voice. And yes, he can do that, but I honestly believe that he places people in your life so that he works through them to tell you stuff. Let me tell you now, God will use the ordinary, plain-looking, run-of-the-mill Chris Walkers in the world to do amazing things and connect with you. I could say that because he wasn't here. Ecclesiastes 4:9. "Pity the man who falls and has no one to pick him up." Has no one to pick him up. "Pity the person who falls and has no wooden pegs to pick them up." Because when you can't be bothered to get out of bed, wooden pegs will turn up, get you out of bed, give you some bread, brush your teeth, brush your hair, and get you to church. When you're tempted, wooden pegs will stop you from making the mistakes. And when you can't take any more, wooden pegs will pick you up. "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." One commentator says the threefold cord is this: it's you, it's your wooden peg. Well, he didn't say wooden peg, but he said companionship and companion. You, your wooden peg, and God in the middle. God-based relationships. And this is why we have tea and coffee. This is why we have social fellowship. Because God wants to place good, godly people and relationships and friendships in your life. We are designed to be a community of people. It is not good for man to be alone. And if you think, "I don't need to go to church, all I need is Jesus and God in my own front room," you are wrong. You will need others, and others will need you. If you're going to survive in this world, you're going to need God, and you're going to need some wooden pegs. I'm going to make a bold statement. I believe, through looking at all this, that social fellowship is just as important as anything else we do. Not more important, but just as important. Tea and coffee is just as important as worshipping God, I feel. You can stone me later if you disagree. Because it's not something we just do so that we look friendly and we can invite new people to come and have tea and coffee and we can ask them like 401 million questions about their life and who they are. It's not about that. It's about getting together. It's about our relationships. It's about meeting with our wooden pegs. And this is not a new fandangle thing. Tea and coffee and social fellowship is not new and hip and current. This was going on in the early church. Because at the beginning of Acts, it tells us that they met, they worshipped, they had unity and everything in common. Now, I'm pretty sure they had times when they fell out with each other, but they remembered that the main thing was the main thing. They understood the importance of social fellowship and sharing their lives together. And let's face it, it's difficult, isn't it, to share our lives together because some of you are weird. And I'm weird, and you don't want to be around me, and it's just a bit odd, isn't it? But we've got to remember that we are all one family, amen? We are all God's family, amen? And in families, you have the oddballs and the strange ones, do we not? Hands up if you can think of an oddball or a strange one in your family right now. Yeah, okay, there's loads, loads. Some of you are holding up hands about the person who sat next to you. I saw that out there. I saw that. In studying a little bit of the early church, one commentator says this, and this is really important. He notes two things about them. He says, they had a real desire to share all that they had, not through legislation or rules, but through spontaneity and love. They had a real desire to share all they had. And the second thing, they had an intense sense of responsibility for each other. An intense sense of responsibility for each other. They were wooden pegs for one another. They journeyed through life together, and in the red peg moments they rallied together, and in the green peg moments they rejoiced and celebrated. Now, can I be honest? The best way to get wooden pegs is to be a wooden peg. To be there for someone is the best way to get wooden pegs. Get connected in church. Get connected with others. If all you do is turn up and sit down and get up and leave, you will never get connected. Tea and coffee is not just something we've attached on the end so we've got something to finish on. It's really important. It's really important that we attend social fellowship together. Because the reason is that God wants you to connect with other people. Sometimes when we're having tea and coffee, you might see someone that's standing on their own or looking a little bit out of place. You know the reason why you've seen them and not anyone else is because God has said, look at that person and now I want you to go talk to them. The reason you noticed it wasn't so that you can go, oh, have you seen that person over there? I've not seen them before. Are they new? I don't know, they're new. Oh, no, I've seen them before. Should we go talk to them? No, fine. They look fine on their own. The reason you saw them was because God wants you to go and say hello. And with a church this size, you need to find a group or an individual or people to connect with. Why do the leadership want you to join small groups? It's not because they can put you on a list or micromanage you in the groups. They know the importance of small groups. They know the importance of relationship because it could save your life to get connected with wooden pegs. I am so glad that the church and the leadership are looking at the importance of kind of discipleship and spiritual journeying together because it tells me that there's a church that believes in the importance of relationships, in journeying together and the importance of having wooden pegs. You're never going to forget this, are you? Wooden pegs. But let's be intentional about it. Let's be selfish about it. Let's not be British and kind of, oh, would you like to be my friend? Oh, no, I do. Let's be selfish about it. I mean, when I leave here, I'm going to be intentional and selfish to remain friends with Chris because I want to know that when trouble comes knocking on my door, I can have Chris on speed dial and say, Chris, something's happened. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for that when trouble comes or when green peg moments come, I can phone Chris and say, help! Often, I'm going to get to the end now. We're coming into a landing. I don't know if it's a crash landing or it's a landing. But often in tea and coffee can often be overlooked as something that's just not important or irrelevant. And we just do it just to seem nicey-nicey. But actually, it's an environment created to help people be wooden pegs and to find wooden pegs. Social fellowship is important because relationships are important. And if it's important to God, it's important to us. And I encourage you, don't just wait for Sundays to have social fellowship, to have tea and coffee. This should be happening all week. Invite someone out for a coffee or a meal. I like the Harvester. If you want to invite me out, that's the place to take me. They have a free salad and they have those little white rolls that are really nice. Or even invite people around your house for cheese on toast. It doesn't have to be big or extravagant. Just do social fellowship. Just get out there, connect. Why do we have tea and coffee? Why do we have social fellowship? So that we can journey together as one, not just on Sundays, but our entire lives. So we can support each other as one, so we can be wooden pegs for each other. Because, as Ecclesiastes says, pity the person who stumbles and falls and has no one to pick them up. Pity the person who stumbles and falls and has no wooden pegs to pick them up. We're going to pray, and at the end of this prayer, I'm just going to ask some questions for you to think in your own space, in your own head. And then also, these wooden pegs, I'm just going to be left here. Please feel free to take some wooden pegs and to hand them to people and say, thank you for being my wooden peg. Thank you for being my wooden peg. Now, there's only 36 pegs. So please just take one each or just be generous with them. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for just how amazing and incredible and loving you are. That throughout our whole lives, you are a God who journeys with us. That for every red and for every green peg moment, there you are. And there you are placing wooden pegs in our lives. We thank you for social fellowship. We thank you that we can come together and just be one another and enjoy each other's company. But may we remember that it is so important to connect with others and with you. We ask this morning if we have wooden pegs in our minds, that you would be there with them now. Just want to ask yourself this question while we're still praying. Who are your wooden pegs? Who are your wooden pegs right now? I want you to think, who am I a wooden peg for? During tea and coffee in a minute, what wooden peg do I need to thank for just being an incredible wooden peg? And who can I see? Who can I see that may need me as a wooden peg, and how can I be that wooden peg for them? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your guidance, your strength. And that throughout all the red peg moments of life, you are a God who is fully present. That when times seem absolutely devastating, you are the light in the darkness. Thank you, Lord. Amen.